It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Veronica Nye. Veronica is an economist and trade specialist with the American Farm Bureau Federation in Washington, D.C. Veronica, great to see you.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Let's give a little background about you and how you ended up in Washington, D.C.
Certainly. Well, I grew up on a goat farm, of all things, in northwest Missouri. Went to Mizzou and then came to D.C. to work for the United States Foreign Ag Service. I was there for about 3 years, and then I've been at Farm Bureau since, working on trade and environmental policy.
Wow. And when we talk about trade, I think one of the biggest issues or the biggest topics right now is the North American Free Trade Agreement, and that clock's ticking. We're looking to, what is it? Is it August or September?
Certainly. So when the formal notification was sent to Congress, that set off a timeline of events under the Trade Promotion Authority that was passed in 2015. So the government is currently taking in comments. They're in listening mode, as they'll tell you. And that sort of formalized process ends the 16th of August. And then that sets in motion the agency is officially developing their sort of ideas as to what they want to accomplish in a modernization, renegotiation of NAFTA. And then the real fun begins.
Now, when we talk about NAFTA, I guess it depends on what group you're talking to as to whether or not NAFTA has been good. Is it possible to look at agriculture generally across the board and say NAFTA has been positive or NAFTA has been negative?
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. Overall, when you look across the broad definition of agriculture, it's pretty clear that NAFTA has been a strong winner for the industry. Back in 1993, the year the agreement was signed, but before it went into effect, we exported about $9 billion worth of product to Canada and Mexico combined. Last year, we exported $38 billion. So just by that metric, when you more than triple your exports, it seems like things are probably working fairly well. But you're right. That's on whole. There are commodities for which NAFTA has not been so successful. And I think that's those commodities that are really driving our discussion when we're thinking about modernizing. How is it that we can help solve some of the issues that the folks in the fruit and vegetable industry have experienced at certain times during the year? How can we deal with some issues on SPS and those sanitary and phytosanitary issues that keep us out of these important markets that are longstanding? How can we address those? So there's a number of areas that we could see some improvement, but I think we like to think of this as taking an A-minus agreement up to an A agreement.
So obviously there are areas the U.S. wants to fix, but there also has to be areas that Mexico and Canada say, hey, we need this fixed from our perspective 25 years later. Do we know what those are?
You're right. This is a negotiation, not a demand. So when we say we want additional market access, we want to send additional product of dairy products and poultry to Canada. We want our wheat grading issues resolved. And we want to talk about the seasonality of fruits and vegetables coming into the United States from Mexico. There's a trade-off there. And so far, Canada and Mexico have held pretty close to the chest what it is they're looking for. I will note that Mexico, right around January, February, started a formalized process to get input back from their producers to see what it was they were looking for. But certainly, there are products for which Canada and Mexico have experienced difficulty getting into the United States. Those are all fair game at this point.
Some have suggested that the recent sugar agreement was negotiated prior to doing anything with NAFTA to go ahead and get that somewhat out of the way. Does Farm Bureau have any position whatsoever on the sugar agreement? Have you seen much about that?
We've certainly reviewed it, and we tend to take our lead from those who are actually producing and selling sugar. And the fact that the U.S. sugar producers have come out in support of the agreement, I think, speaks volumes for it. Certainly, sugar is one of those products that has been a long-standing thorn in the side of this relationship. So let's do hope that by dealing with it in advance, we've resolved some of those issues, and we can take that particular commodity and all of the political and market issues that it carries. Perhaps we can put that on the sideline. But I'd also say that perhaps, yes, it was done in advance of NAFTA to make the modernization more palatable. But there's also a significant just market-driven component of this. The suspension agreement started several years ago, and so it's not as if this was a purely political type of issue. This was a market issue that we've been trying to work out for a couple of years.
So let me throw dairy in here as well, since we're talking about the North American countries, and I guess this would specifically fall into the lap of Canada. That's become somewhat of a thorn.
Certainly. Well, you know, I think a lot of the rhetoric around NAFTA has been around Mexico, trade with Mexico, but in reality, most ag issues that we have are actually with Canada, and dairy being one of them. Canada maintains a supply management program for both poultry and dairy. And in the last year, one of the provinces, Quebec, in Canada, decided to change their milk ingredients policy. And then a couple of months ago, the entire country followed suit, and they basically created a new class of milk, which allowed them to be more price competitive with U.S. exports of ultra-filtered milk. That basically shut the United States out of that market, which is a really big deal for those folks who were supplying milk and had bought into the processing facilities. That was predominantly in Wisconsin and New York. But certainly that would be an issue that we need to, that is it's the top of folks' mind, and is one we need to address in this discussion.
So you mentioned poultry. Let's talk about a country that's not in the North American Free Trade Agreement, and that's China. We're hearing a lot right now on the beef side of the Chinese agreement, but what do we see when we start talking poultry?
That's a good question. So the first time that the president of China, Mr. Xi, came to the United States, he and President Trump had a meeting, and they sat down and they said, you know, this relationship needs some improvement. And they wanted to deliver on some items fairly quickly. So they set out and they put together a list of 10 items that they wanted to try to resolve over a 100-day process. That was in mid-April. So beginning part of April, I guess. Chinese poultry, cooked poultry, has since 2006, the United States has said, yes, it's a safe product. It's equivalent, your safety processes are equivalent to what we see in the United States. By a scientific standard, we should be allowed, you should be able to ship this product. But there's been some issue actually getting that in place for a lot of different reasons. You know, I think some people question whether or not China really ever can be equivalent at this, not ever, but maybe at this current point in time, have an equivalent safety system. And then I think there's just a lot of fear from folks who aren't in the industry. But that's a big deal to China. They want that product in. They said, hey, if you guys follow science, you follow science, and we want that product in the United States. So we're expecting today that the administration will put forward regulations in the Federal Register that would allow cooked poultry from China to enter the United States. One of the other agriculture items on that list was more from the U.S. perspective on biotechnology approvals. We've had a fair amount of issue with China over the last several years. We see a number of traits that have gone through the entire scientific review that just keep dragging out. We're not getting approvals. China and the United States set forth in that 100-day plan, a sub-plan, if you will, for biotechnology that would try to move forward those events and try to improve the system so that we don't continue to have these issues. So the end of the 100 days comes exactly a month from today, the 16th of July. So a lot of work yet to be done, but it certainly marks a new era in our relationship with China and how deals maybe with the country on a trade perspective are dealt with.
Final question for you deals with the World Trade Organization, just in general. There are agreements in place by the WTO, and I would imagine, even though we don't hear about the WTO on a daily basis, really there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes.
One of the things we tend to talk about the WTO when we're talking about these grand negotiating rounds where we're trying to reduce barriers to trade, and that is an important component. We also tend to talk about it in the dispute resolution, the sort of the trade court where countries can bring each other hopefully in line when we've not lived up to the promises we've made. But another important component of the WTO are these standing committees, which is bureaucrats, we love standing committees because it allows us to get formalized process to get together and talk about issues. And one of those committees is the Committee on Agriculture, and they get together several times a year. And as a result of that meeting, each country develops questions for each other where they said, you know, I'm not sure that we like what we're seeing. I'd like to ask you a few questions about that. And so you ask those questions in more of a public forum than you have been. Certainly that's not the first time countries have been telling each other they have that particular issue, but it's nice to have it on paper. So then once that question is posed, the other country is obligated to respond to that question. So this is it's an ongoing process, but that milk ingredients policy that Canada has recently put in place was certainly the topic of conversation in the early June meeting of the Committee on Ag. Australia, New Zealand, and the U.S. submitted over 80 questions about that new pricing policy. So certainly there's a lot of interest in what's going on in Canada. That's one of many issues, but it's very much one of those things that we do to try to keep the open channels of communication between countries and trade in a more formalized process.
Veronica, great to see you. We wish you the best.
Thank you very much. Please please contact us again. I love to talk nerdy trade, and there's a whole host of folks here who love to talk ag and keep folks informed.
Veronica Nye is an economist and trade specialist with the American Farm Bureau Federation. You can find them online at fb.org. This is the Agribusiness Report.